Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Matthew. From chapter 1, we will read verses 18 through 25. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1375. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And Mary will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him Mary his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and Joseph called his name Jesus. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. It's getting tougher on grooms. Not only is there the talk with the bride's dad and picking out the ring and deciding whether to get down on one knee or not and how to declare his love and pop the question, he's got to select a special spot to propose and line up the photographer to take pictures, and in some cases secretly take pictures, and then get the family and friends on board for the engagement party to immediately follow. Not surprisingly, many grooms are soliciting family help. As one groom's mother said to me, there's a whole lot more family involvement than there should be. Well, all of these things are critical because there needs to be a good story and photos when the couple put it on their own website with theknot.com. Well, Joseph didn't face the modern issues of today's groom. However, he did face a life-altering crisis. A crisis is described as a disruptive. It's a high-stress situation where usual coping skills fail, requiring immediate support. In today's world, we have 988, suicide, and crisis lifeline with calling, texting, or messaging. There's a special veterans crisis line, as well as Alabama-specific 988 calls, which go to a local support assistant. Joseph didn't have those things. I don't know about you, but when I have a major announcement, I generally tell family, church family, and then friends and whomever. I can't help but wonder when and how Joseph learned of Mary's announcement. Last Sunday, we read in Luke 1 where the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary in Nazareth and gave her the message. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be called the Son of God. The angel also told Mary that her older relative Elizabeth had conceived and was in her sixth month. Mary exclaimed, Behold the maidservant of the Lord, and let it be to me according to your word. The angel departed from Mary. Now Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. Mary left with haste. Mary prepared quickly for her journey. However, we have to say, hold on a minute. Tradition holds that Zacharias, who was a priest who served in the temple, that he probably lived in Enkerim in Bethlehem, which was a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem where the temple was located. This was the hill country of Judah. Mary lived approximately 90 miles north in Nazareth, a city in the region of Galilee. The common route was to head east to the Jordan Valley and then south through the desert and then up to the hill country. So this route allowed for travelers to avoid the hostile territory of Samaria. So we are talking a 5 to 7 day night trip by caravan, either walking or riding a donkey. So young Mary could not have ventured out on her own. It was common to travel with family or neighbors. That Mary could have found someone to travel with is reasonable. Some questions I have are, did she tell her father and mother her news? Did she mention the angel Gabriel? did she remain silent at this point about her news, but speak of going to see Elizabeth, who was expecting a baby. Leaving with haste makes me think that she didn't tell anyone her secret. Since the angel had connected her news and Elizabeth, Mary probably wanted to speak with Elizabeth. Mary entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, her babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The Holy Spirit had given Elizabeth understanding. Her reaction would have confirmed for Mary her favor with God and that she would give birth to the Lord of the Jews. So Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her house. I'm assuming that Mary stayed until baby John was born. After seeing all was well, Mary went home to her family, then began the responsibility of telling her experience. There again, this is an assumption on my part, but I suspect that she told her mother and then her father. Did her father go to Joseph's father with Joseph present? I hope that at some point they allowed Mary to talk with Joseph. While it is a delicate subject, surely her face glowed, not only with the glow of expectant mothers, but the glow of having talked face to face with an angel who brought her the incredible message from God that she would give birth to God's son. As she shared these things with Joseph, did he listen with rapt attention as his betrothed declared that she was willing to be the maidservant of the Lord? While Mary saw herself immersed in the plan of God, how did Joseph see himself? Did he feel betrayed? Was he drawn to Mary, or did he pull away? Did he feel left out? Was he needed in Mary's life? Did her baby, God's son, need a carpenter father? To Joseph's credit, he must not have flown off the handle and denounced Mary quickly. He didn't drag her to the church elders and make accusations. Joseph waited. When you have a major decision, maybe even a decision in a crisis, do you wait a day, a week, or until peace comes about what to do? Do you ponder? Do you pray? Do you listen? Then Joseph, being her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make Mary a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. A just man. I think of Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord does require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. A just man seeks to do what is right in God's eyes. A just man loves to extend mercy. A just man desires to walk humbly with God. Joseph did not want to make Mary a public example and the talk of the town. He was thinking about putting her away secretly. He would quietly divorce her. Where would this leave Mary? While our sensibilities often cringe at a patriarchal society with the fathers and then the males down the line bear the responsibility of protection for unmarried girls and women, one can see that where if families handle their responsibility of care with love and grace, a vulnerable female was not left in peril. Would Mary's father protect her and her baby? Certainly at some point it would become community knowledge. While everyone loves a baby, no matter their arrival, people are not always so kind as the child matures. Well, God had a different plan. Just as God wisely chose the mother for his son, God wisely chose the earthly father for his son. Let no one underestimate the role of fathers and stepfathers and step-in uncles and church and community male role models. Oh, males often express it differently, but love is surely found in the words and in their doing. In the October 2021 Reader's Digest, there's an article entitled Speaking Fluent Fatherlish. The author, Richard Glover, proposes that dads have a language all their own, but it's not really too difficult to decipher. Richard Glover writes, "My father used to say, as a form of greeting, 'Have you checked the oil in the car?' That was his version of, 'Hello, hope you are well.' And sometimes phone calls would begin about the oil and end about the oil and not have a whole lot in between. Fathers have a lot of love to give, but it's often supplied through the medium of practical advice. Listen closely, and the phrase "I love you" can be heard in the slightly lengthier, "I could come around on Saturday and replace the silicone seal around the base of your toilet." The sentiment "you made my life better from the moment you were born" may rarely be heard, but there is the gist is there in the more common, "I'll hold the ladder for you." Joseph certainly did not want Mary stoned, as he could have demanded based on the law. And it would also seem that he didn't request a payment of reparation from her father. Still, what does a just man do? While Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." Sleep. It's that state in which the body is at ease and the mind is perhaps open to possibilities, even possibilities of God. The author Matthew connects for us this new happening with words from the sacred scripture of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke through the prophet these words in Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So while the birth of a son in this special way would never have been what Mary and Joseph would have thought would happen in their lives, it had certainly been on the mind of God. God had planned long ago, even before the foundation of the world, that God would come and dwell among us. God waited until just the right century and the right time and with the right woman and the right man to bring it to pass. Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him Mary, his wife, and he did not know her till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Just as Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word," Joseph was saying, "Let it be to me according to your word." In the Tuesday, December 9th reading for the upper room, Peg Foltz of Illinois wrote the words of her pastor in a sermon. It was entitled "Three-Way Vision." He had said, "Look up in trust, look back in gratitude, and look forward in hope." Well, Joseph looked up in trust, he looked back in gratitude, and he looked forward in hope. It would be the hope for the salvation of the world. Oh, from the moment that the angel Gabriel stepped into Mary's home and brought her a message from God, Mary and Joseph's lives were different than they ever imagined. We know that Mary found joy because we have her words. They're recorded for us in Luke 1:46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." We don't have such a moving, poetic expression of Joseph's spirit rejoicing in Scripture, but we do have Joseph's actions. Joseph did as the angel commanded him and took Mary as his wife, and did not know Mary until Mary brought forth her firstborn son. Joseph called his name Jesus. Joseph yielded his right as husband. Joseph yielded his right to select his son's name. He believed God and named him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Look up in trust, look back in gratitude, and look forward in hope. You will abound in hope. You will abound in peace. You will abound in joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we yield our lives to you. We look to you with trust, gratitude, and hope. Grant us your hope, peace, and joy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.